this on? No, this is not on. Huh?
Days.
I don't know how this.
Where did Satsanga?
I don't know, but he.
He left last week too, I know.
I can't do anything with it. He said he was going to stay. I don't know how to set it up.
I don't have the code.
Yeah. So, son.
Where is everybody?
Did you put it on?
Yes, but.
It didn't.
Cool.
Okay.
That doesn't have a battery anyway.
So, you're going to put this on?
Yes.
Okay.
That's bigger.
Okay. I doesn't have it on this one.
Could charge this one though.
I don't have charger. Okay.
I don't keep a charger in the shul.
Yeah, that's the next thing we're gonna keep. Okay, we're nun base, amid base. The Mishnah is in the middle of the page, after the Mishnah. We're gonna start. Amar Birchen. Okay, the Mishnah said like this. This is called Ksubis Benin Dichrin. Ksubis Benin Dichrin means like this. First of all, there's obligation on the husband to give a ksuba to his wife. And there's stipulations in the ksuba. Even if he didn't write the stipulations in the ksuba, it's considered as if it's written in the ksuba anyway. Okay? Now, one of the stipulations that Chachamim made was called Benin Dichrin. That what? That the male children, this is what he's supposed to write in the ksuba. Okay? That the male children you're going to have from me will inherit your ksuba more than the share of the other brothers. In other words, what happens if a guy had a few wives? Even simultaneously, they had, in the time of the Gemara, they had many wives, right? Only a king was limited with 18. A regular guy can have as many wives as he wants as long as he's able to support them. Okay, let's say a guy had 2-3 wives. Yeah? So one wife's ksuba was 200. One wife's ksuba was 300. Now when they inherit the ksuba, so the benin dichrin ksuba means that your mother's ksuba of 300, you're going to inherit above and beyond what the other brothers get Yerusha. Because let's say if everybody's equal, right, then the 300 goes together with the 200, so it becomes 500, so there's two boys, each one will only get 250. But like this son of this wife is going to get 300, because that's what his mother's ksuba is, and the other one will get from his mother 200. Right? That, so in the Mishnah it said that even if that doesn't say that in the ksuba, it's considered as if it said. Okay, that's called ksuba benin dichrin. Benin dichrin means the male children. Okay? So the Gemara says like this, Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Shim Rabbi Shim ben Yochai. Okay, Rabbi Shim Rabbi Yochanan says the name of Rabbi Shim ben Yochai. Mipneima hiskinu ksubis benin dichrin. Why did the Chachamim institute this concept of ksuba benin dichrin, that this son is going to inherit his mother's ksuba more than the other children? Kadesh yikbitz Adam v'yichtev lebnei kabitei. Because a man will jump and write a large dowry for his daughter, and it would be as if it would be his son. Meaning like this. A guy is hesitant to write a big ksuba, okay, a big dowry for his wife. For his wife, that, because then it's going to end up by other people. If there's a daughter or whatever it is, they'll marry another guy, you know, go to that other family. So a guy would hesitate. Like this with his children, he knows he's going to have, his children are going to inherit him, he's going to stay in the family. But if he marries this wife, and they have a kid, yeah, but then it's from a different family, Lepel, the money might end up in a different family. That's what Rabbi Shimon Yochai says. Okay? Now, fathers were reluctant to give big dowries to the daughters, okay? Because if the daughter died first, okay, and the guy remarries, the dowry will not be inherited by the daughter's sons, but also by any sons in the second marriage. If a guy marries off his daughter, okay, and the daughter dies before the husband. Yeah, that's, yeah. And then the husband remarries. It's not only going to be his daughter's kid, his daughter's, the other children from the second marriage will also get it. So guy is hesitant to write a big dowry to his wife. Who inherits a wife? The husband. Yeah? Yeah? So if a guy writes a big dowry for his wife, for his daughter, there's a 50-50 chance that this girl will die before her husband dies. Okay? So let's see, the dowry is $1,000. A guy says to himself, why should I write a big dowry for my daughter of $1,000? She might die before her husband. Then the husband inherits her and her money. Yeah? And then he's going to marry another woman, and they're going to have kids. Who's going to inherit that money? The other guy's kids in the second marriage. And my daughter gets nothing. And my family loses all that money. Right? But now that in the Ksuba Benin Dichlin says that the wife's dowry, the son will inherit what's more than everybody else, so then the guy won't hesitate to do it. Because then he knows their son that they have together will get it. Will marry it. Will inherit the thing.
That's not a normal case. The rare case that the daughter died before the husband. Before her husband. Only because of that they did this. Is that a bit too far?
No, not only that. No? Even if she had a kid. Even if she had a kid. With this guy. Yeah. Okay. There's a father, Avram. Okay, let's do biblical names. If Avram is getting married to, no, Bukhal. Avram is marrying off
Bakol,
yeah. Just to try to work out with the names. If a father marries off his daughter, yeah. So what's gonna get men to marry her is a large dowry, right? So Avram's marrying off his daughter. He wants men to marry her. How does he get men to marry her? Giving her a large dowry, right? That's why a man is going to want to marry her. But the husband's still afraid to give his wife a big his daughter a big dowry. Why? Let's say Yitzchak marries Rivka, who's Avram's daughter. And they have a kid. They have a kid, Yaakov. Yeah. But what happens if Rivka dies before Yitzchak? Who inherits her?
Her husband.
Not the son. The thing is, the son doesn't inherit the mother. A mother is only inherited by her husband. Yeah? Okay. So now, he marries it off to this guy out of the family. His son-in-law is not part of the family. Even if she has a kid with him. But if she dies first, what's going to happen? He'll remarry to another woman. They'll have kids from that other woman. So how much is going to stay in the family? Maybe one son will get together with three other kids. Right? So the father is hesitant to write a dowry, a large dowry, to a daughter because in the back of his mind, he thinks she might die first and then the money is gone from the family. But by telling her that this dowry will be inherited by your son more than all the other sons, then the father says, you know, I don't have a problem writing large dowry because she'll probably have a kid. Yeah? And this kid will inherit her dowry more than the other kids get, at least if money stays in the family. So that's what Reb Shimon Yochai said. That's the reason why the Chachamim instituted Benin Dichlin. The Chachamim wanted people to get married. To marry off their kids. Right? So if the guys are not going to make a large dowry, nobody's going to want to marry the girl. But he's hesitant to make a large dowry, because then the husband's going to inherit to marry other women, and who's going to get the money? Well, his other kids. From a different wife, not from his own daughter. So why should he write it? There's a 50-50 chance. And not only that, in the old days, today most women outlive men. But in those days, a lot of women died in childbearing. A lot of women died giving birth. It wasn't like today. Right? So it was a strong possibility the woman might have a kid, but she'll die. And the money's going to go to other kids. So that's why the father did it. Okay, so now the Gemara says like this. Is there such a thing, the Gemara asked, that the Torah says, bra liris, brata loy liris. What does the Torah say? That if there's a son, he inherits, the guru doesn't. V'asir Rabban, the Chacham are going to come along and say that besakta the tetas brata, that the girl with the dowry can inherit, meaning that her sons are going to inherit from her. The Torah says girls don't inherit. So now we're saying the reason why the guy makes bin dichlin, that there should be a large dowry that the daughter really gets and her kids get. That means you're basically saying the daughter gets inheritance. So Gemara says, no, hanami that I see. Dowry is also biblical. Dowry is also biblical. Where do we see dowry is biblical? It says a pasuk, where's this pasuk? In Yirmiyahu. Khunashim, take merry women, lead the banim of banis, and get, Yirmiyahu said to the Jews like this, get married, take wives, get married, have sons and daughters, ukhul ibnechem nashim, get wives for your sons, vez bnei sechem tenula nashim, and your daughters, should be given to, you give your daughters to husbands. But it's a funny expression. It says, take for your son's wife, and then it says, and give your daughters to husbands. Why were they giving in here as taking? So Gemara said, Bishleim Abonim Biyodid Kaim. It's a guy's hands to marry off his son. Elabante Mikam Biyodid. Is it possible? Is it to marry off his daughter? Meaning like this. Normally, the man looks for the wife, not the wife for the man. So he says, Mele, marrying off your sons, because they will be aggressive to take wives for your son, because the sons are the ones looking for the shidduch. Right. But the girls, they're not going to be aggressive. So what does that mean? Elohim say, what does it mean, give your daughters to husbands? What do you mean, give your daughters to husbands? How can you give daughters to husbands when the men look, not the girls? So he said, what it means is, do those things to your daughters that will make men want to marry them. Meaning, clothing, dowries, kamashmalan, the nalbisha v'nichse, clothe the daughter, give nichse means give her jewelry, v'nesel amidi, and give her property, the kafsalev also, now the men should come and marry her. So Gemara says, even this concept of dowry is mentioned in Yirmiyahu. What's interesting is that not really biblical, but the Gemara here is calling it biblical. It's not only from the Chachomim, you find it even by the Nevi'im, that they said, you have to give a dowry to your daughter. Why that they should get married? And men should want to marry them. But the Gemara says, "Va'ad kama, how much of one's money should they give for dowry to a daughter?" So it's interesting. Abayim and Rava both say, "Al isin nichsi, up to a tenth of the one's possessions." Okay. Now, what is this relevant? So the Rishonim bring down what the Gemara is answering like this. We learned before, what happens if a father dies, and the kids have the estate, and there's a daughter that has to get married. So we learned before in the Mishnah said, you estimate how much would the father want to give as dowry, and that the sons have to pay from the estate. Okay? Because the Torah says you have to pay dowry, but the father's dead. But the estate is there. Right? So the Gemara said, how much dowry do the sons have to give? Because the father didn't stipulate. So it says, what we assume the father would normally give. So here the Gemara said, what does normally a person give? Up to 10% dowry.
the real, what kind of money, the real estate or the
tartarin? Hmm? Oh, the Gemara is going to talk about that soon. But by the way, the Mefarshim say at the bottom, bring down over here, an interesting thing. It's not a biblical obligation, it's from Yirmiyahu. Okay? So therefore, based on this, the Poskim write, what happens if the father says, I don't want to give dowry? I don't want to. Can Beis Din force him? The answer is no.
What if he doesn't have him? What if he doesn't have one?
Well, if he doesn't have, he doesn't have. But see, even if he has, he doesn't want to give. So therefore, if a man gives instructions not to give, provide dowry for his daughter, we listen to him. And therefore, the Rama writes, that he brings down from the Ritva. But the Beis Din, the Rama writes, that a Beis Din cannot force a man, a father, to give dowry to his daughter.
Do they do this nowadays or not?
What? Some places they do, some places.
Chabot don't do, huh?
No.
We don't follow Yirmiyahu.
Huh?
We don't follow Yirmiyahu.
No, that's not the point. It's just that we don't...
And you don't use
the boy himself is the dowry.
Oh, is it?
It's a
different situation.
The boy himself.
Different situation. Whatever
said something about this, yeah?
The what?
He didn't have money. He said
that
when he went to yeshiva, all
this,
something
like that. What did the guys have already? Today's world was different.
They got married 14, 15 years old. Yeah. No, they weren't successful. Okay, so the Gemara asks, the aim of the avli it is, but say that the son should inherit the ksuba of the father of the mother. The baal it is, and the husband should inherit the ksuba obligations of the husband. In other words, like this, the Gemara is saying, but if the sons inherit the ksuba contribution of the father, right, why should they not inherit the ksuba obligations also of the husband? Why do you only say the sons get the benefit, not the responsibility? You say, what do the sons inherit? The extra ksuba that the father gave to the mother. So why shouldn't they be obligated to pay the ksuba also? Why is it a one-way street?
The chovot.
Yeah. In gain, so then the Gemara says, because if they have the obligation of namnim nimnav lekos, the father is not going to write dowry for the daughter either. Because if the husband's resentful that he has to pay the ksuba, his daughter's husband, he's not gonna want to get married either. So again, you're losing the whole purpose of the dowry is to get the guy to marry the girl. If you told us the guy, the husband has to pay the ksuba, so he says, oh, so what again by all this headache? So now the Gemara says, okay, but maybe, eicha the kosev av lichtibal. Maybe whenever the father wrote the dowry, then the husband should write the ksuba that the sons inherit. But in other words, the Gemara says like this. Every marriage has the ksuba of binin dichrin that the sons inherit, yeah? But why don't the Gemara asks, why doesn't the Gemara say that halacha should be like this? If the father gives dowry, then the sons inherit. You know, the binin dichrin. If the father doesn't give dowry, then the whole reason doesn't apply. So, the whole reason of binin dichrin of why the sons inherit the extra ksuba, the dowry, is that because the father would give a dowry, so why don't you make that when the father gives a dowry, then the boys inherit the dowry, and when there's no dowry, they don't inherit. Why do you make it a clear across the board that even if you don't write it, they always get it? So Gemara says, Liplug Rabbanan. Chama do not differentiate. And as they make a ksuba, they don't say, if the father gave a dowry, write this. If you don't, make one text of the ksuba and that's it. So everything's equal.
Simpler for the scribes.
It's just simpler, the chum like to simplify things.
Yeah, but otherwise you get some scribe and say, well, last time I did it, I didn't have it, and you might not know the reason.
So. Right.
And they're all the same point.
Okay, so now the Gemara asks, Bas bein abanim, if that's the case, what's the ksuba say? That any male sons will inherit the dowry, right? and the daughters, what happens if there's no sons? The daughters shouldn't inherit? Then it also stay in the family, at least. The Mishnah said, what's ksuba benin dichrin? That if the male children we're going to have together are going to get the dowry. That's the ksuba, right? So why shouldn't the girls get it also? For the same reason. They should stay in the family. At least the girls will get it. So Gemara says, no. Benachla shavir abanin. Because this stipulation of inheritance, this is the inheritance. Inheritance, if they're sons, the girls don't get it. So the Gemara says, but bas bein abanis, at least let the daughter get, if there's only daughters. The Gemara says, leplug abanin, again, the Chacham didn't differentiate. Sounds like this. The Torah says, when they're sons, the girl doesn't inherit. Okay? So what are we afraid? The guy's gonna write a dowry. Then the guy's gonna, they're gonna have a daughter. Yeah? And she's gonna inherit her mother's ksuba. But if the father, if the husband remarries, if she dies, and the husband remarries, right? So then there's gonna be sons from the second wife. Right? And the second wife, if they're sons, sons inherit from the father, not the daughters. So the Gemara said, but what happens if there's only daughters? Let these daughters get the mother's dowry over the other daughters. The Gemara said, look, we can't start differentiating this, that. So we make it simple. Only male children get it, the female children don't get it. Okay? Now the Gemara is going to ask what you ask. Now, if we said before there was a Mishnah and Nun Amiral, Anamid Beis, that when the boys get the dowry, the Benin Dichrin, that they inherit more than the other sons, they can only take it from Metautalin, movable land, movable objects. They cannot collect it from land. The extra money, the dowry, they can only collect from Metautalin, not from... So Gemara says, the tigvim me metautala. No, I'm sorry. I made a mistake. The Mishnah said before they only get from land, not from metautala. Okay?
Yeah, but from real estate, yeah.
Only from the real estate, not from the money. So Gemara said, why didn't get from also from metautala? So Gemara says, the Chacham made it like the Ksuba. Ksuba, the din is, the children only get, the woman only collects the ksuba from karka, from land. So they made this also, it's a part of the ksuba. So they made just like a ksuba, the wife can only collect from land. So this also, the sons that are inheriting this dowry can only get it from land. So Gemara says, if that's the case, titrim mishabdim, let them even get from the land the father sold to other people. When he was alive, it says Yarsin Tram, because the Mishnah says inherit. The children don't inherit land that the father sold. In other words, like this. A father sold land, right? The father, when he was alive, sold land to somebody. And then he dies. The children don't get inheritance from the land he sold. Right? It's not the father's. So because these children are inheriting, the Gemara's question, well, why can't they go collect from the land the fields the father sold to somebody else? Let them go there, because it's like a debt. Let them go and collect it. But the Gemara says they're inheriting. Inheritance is only what the father has now. See, a debt, it's interesting. If when the father was alive, he owed somebody money. He owed somebody money. Then he sold land with a document. The lender can go to the buyers of the field and take away the field. Right? So my question is, if the father wrote this in the Ksuba, that the sons inherit the mother's dowry, so why can't they collect it from the land sold? So I said, because it's inheritance. Inheritance, you only get what the father has. You don't inherit what the father sold before he died. You can't do that. So Gemara says, Eima afogav deleka meisedina. Maybe the sons can collect the ksuba even if there's no surplus dinar. Meaning like this. Later there's a Mishnah that says like this. The sons who inherit the mother's dowry, okay, can only collect it if there's a dinar, not, it's not a dollar, but a dinar is left in the estate in addition to the ksuba. After all the ksubas are collected. Meaning like this. These kids that the guy wrote in the ksuba, the male children Yafami are going to collect more than the other kids. Yeah? So Gemara says that din only applies when everybody collects the ksuba from the estate, all the women collect the ksuba from the estate, and there's a dinar left over. Then these kids can get more if their mother's ksuba was 300, right? The dowry was more than the minimal ksuba. Yeah? So then they get 300 and the other kids get 200 for their mother's ksuba. But the Mishnah later on says that's only when there's, after all the ksubas are divided, 300, 200, whatever it is, there's a dinar left in the estate. Then this guy can get 300, then this guy can get 200, everybody's happy. But if when everybody gets 300 and 200 and 200, there's no money left, then there's nobody gets extra. Then they divide the estate equally. This schus that they have to collect 300 versus 200, yeah, the extra money, is only, the Mishnah says later, when there's a dollar left over in the estate after everybody divides the Yerusha. But until then, not. So the Gemara says, even though there's no Maisedin, they should get it. He says, no. But Malkum to Ma'akre Nachla de Reisa. When you uproot the law of inheritance, like Tekine Rabbanim, the Rabbanim has never made it. Okay? Meaning like this. You always need money left over for Yerusha. You know, we spoke about this in the past. You know, and today, let's say somebody has, this is a proper way of doing it. Let's say they have 5 kids. 3 boys, 2 girls. Okay? Now, biblical din. The father dies, the boys get, the girls nothing. Okay, they get supported from the estate until they reach 12 and a half, or they're married, whatever, right? What happens if a guy wants to give all his kids equally? He wants to give all his kids equally. So let's say he has $5,000. He has 5 kids and he has $5,000. So he wants to give each kid $1,000. Right? But if he dies, then the inheritance Torah says, no, the boys get the $1,000, the 3 boys get the $1,000, and the 2 girls get nothing. It's women equality.
What happened today?
It does happen today. So what does he do? So we discussed in the past, how do you do what's called a kosher will? I mean, so you make a gift of the money before you die. Okay, but it says you're supposed to leave over money for inheritance, because there is a concept of inheritance. If you're giving all $1,000 away as a gift, then what are you, you're uprooting the din of inheritance. There's no inheritance left. Right? So what's the proper way of doing it? If the guy has, let's say, $5,000, 5 kids, you give each kid $950 or $975. You have money remaining as inheritance. And in that inheritance money, the boys take and the girls don't take. And if there's a b'chor, he gets double. So then you're not uprooting the din of Yerusha. There's no, when the Torah says you inherit, there's no money amount. Whatever there is, you inherit. But to uproot the din of inheritance completely, that you're not supposed to do. So the Gemara's question is, if in this case, the boys are going to get to ksuba, so let them even get if there's no dinar left. But I said, but then you're uprooting Yerusha, because then this guy's getting his ksuba, his mother's ksuba, this guy's getting his mother's ksuba, this guy's getting his mother's ksuba, and what's the father giving inheritance? So Chama not going to do that. So at least a dinner has to be made to have a dinner of Yerusha. Otherwise, it's not going to work. This next story is a very interesting story.
And today's situation?
Today you shoot everybody and there's no problem. You know, there's an expression, when there's a, where there's a will,
there's a way.
There's a relative.
That's true.
Okay. Rav Papa, you might tell us a story, interesting story with Rav Papa. Saw how the rabbis even dealt them with money. Rav Papa is asically lebrei be'abes surah. Rav Papa was engaged in marrying off his son to the house of Abba of Surah. Now, listen to this. Rav Papa was Abba Surah's son-in-law. Picture the picture. This guy, Abba Surah, is Rav Papa's father-in-law. Rav Papa is marrying off his son to a girl from Abba Surah's, one of Abba Surah's daughters. Now, right away at the bottom, they say, 1 minute. Obviously, it has to be a different mother. You can't marry your aunt. Right. If Rav Papa's wife was Abba Surah's daughter, and now one of his son is marrying his mother's sister, so he's marrying an aunt, which you're not allowed to. So therefore they say, the son was born from a previous marriage. In other words, Papa's son, right, Papa's son that he's marrying off to Abba Surah was not a son from the wife who's Abba Surah's daughter. From a different wife. So Rav Papa had a son from a different wife. In addition to that, Rav Papa was Abba Surah's son-in-law. Now Rav Papa had a son from a different wife, and he wanted to marry him off to Abba Surah's other daughter. So it's not this kid's aunt. Rav Papa is marrying off his son to his sister-in-law. But it's not the boy's aunt, because the boy's from a different mother. Got it? Okay. What happened? Azul lemichta v'leksuba. So the papa went to Abba Surah's house. Surah's a city, right? And he went to write the ksuba. Shama Yehuda bar Meremer heard that a papa was in town. The papa came from his city, right, to Surah, to make a shidduch and write a ksuba. So Yehuda ben Meremer heard that a papa is coming. Nafik asis chazali. Now Yehuda came to, the papa was a very famous guy from the Gemara. So this Yehuda ben Meremer went to see the papa. He went to visit him. And they walk in the street together. Okay, they're walking to Abba Surah's house. Kimata lepischa. As soon as he came to Abba Surah's house, Yehuda said, goodbye, I'm leaving, I'm not going into the house. Amalei, so the papa said to Meremar, Yehuda bar Meremar, Neil mar badoi, please come in with me. Okay? You got the picture? The picture is very simple. And the papa is going to make a transaction. This Yehuda bar Meremar, the very prominent guy in the city, by the way, went to meet Rav Papa. When he walked in the street with Rav Papa, when he came to Abba Surah's house, so Yehuda ben Meremer said, okay, bye, I'm leaving. Rav Papa said, no, come with me into the house. Chazer delei havenichalei. Rav Papa saw that Yehuda didn't want to go into the house. He didn't want to go into the house. Okay? See, so Papa said to my daitoch, why don't you want to come into the house with me? Mishum damale shmuel Rav Yehuda shinina leiteve bavori achsante. Don't be present when inheritance is transferred from its rightful recipient. I'll explain in a second. Afilu mebra bisha, even from a bad son to a good son. Doloyadina Maizar enough, I mean that you don't know what type of children are gonna come from this. The Koshke Mibrolabatan, definitely when an inheritance is shifted from son to a daughter. It was like this. The Pope was very smart. Yehuda ben Maimon was very smart. They were very smart people. The Pope is going in to get a dowry for his son. What's he going? Abba Sur probably is a very wealthy man. Okay? The Pope is going into Abba Sur's house to make a deal. Make the negotiate a dowry deal for his son. He wanted the beautiful Merema to come with him.
Be witness.
Not to witness, because he knew Abba Sur would be embarrassed not to give a big dowry in front of this guy Merema. He's a very prominent man in the city. He's probably, you know, to show off. So the Papa says to him, so you the Merema, he said, I don't want to get involved. He wanted to leave. So the Papa said to him, why don't you want to go? Is it because Shmuel said to Rav Yehuda, a different Rav Yehuda, Shmuel said to Rav Yehuda, don't ever be part of an inheritance exchange. Whether it's from a good son to a bad son to a good son, definitely not from daughters to son, don't be involved in it. Now what's happening over here? The Pope is taking away money from the son's inheritance by giving the dowry to his daughter. And he wants Abba Sura to give money for his daughter to go to the Pope's son. So basically he's taking away money from Abba Sura, is taking away, Papa wants Abba Sura to give him the dowry instead of giving it to his sons. Right? So he said, is that why you don't want to come in? The Papa said to him. He said, no, this is also a takana of the Rabbanan to give dowry. Just like the Rabbanan, the Chacham instituted inheritance, they instituted dowry. That's also important. So you're not doing anything wrong by coming into the house to help me negotiate a deal. Right? Because dowry is also a very important mitzvah. So why didn't you come? Amalei Hani Milimidaiti. So he says, I'll tell you why. That's only when somebody gives a dowry when they want to give it. La Suya Nami. You want to force him to give a dowry. I'm not interested in that shtick. In other words, the Papa was about to negotiate a deal forcing Abba Sura to give dowry. And Yehuda ben Merema being there would help an accomplice to force Abba Sura to give a dowry. He says, that's not the point. When is dowry good? When the father wants to give it, but not to force him to give it. Okay? So he says, okay, you know what? Amalei, Atami kaminu loch asu v'asya. Did I tell you to go in and force Abba Sura to give me a dowry? I didn't tell you to force him. El v'leitaisa kamin. I just mean you should go in, but don't force Abba Sura to give me dowry. Just sit there like a gailum. Okay? That Papa was very smart. He knew that Rav Yehuda didn't want to go in because he didn't want to be a part of a forced dowry. Forcing Abba Sura to give a dowry. Right? So Abba Papa said to him, no, I don't want you to come into force. Just come in. Just come in. Don't be part of the negotiations. Yeah? What happens? After the oil, the Papa finally influenced Yehuda ben Merema to come in. Ishtik Yosef. Yehuda sat quietly through all the negotiations. Listen to this. Saver Ahu Misach Rosach. Abba Sura thought, why was Yehuda silent? Because he was angry that Abba Sura wasn't giving a big dowry. Yehuda went into the house quietly. He didn't, Abba Papa said, I don't need you to negotiate. Just sit there like quiet. Okay? Because Yehuda was quiet, Abba Sura thought, oh, Yehuda is probably angry at me that I'm not giving a big dowry. What happened? Kosev l'chom ma'idahavale. He wrote in the dowry everything that he owned. Abba Sura, by his being quiet,
Plan worked better.
Abba Sura gave everything he owned in the dowry. Nosaf, at the end, so Abba said to Yehuda, Hachinami le mishtoima, why aren't you talking now at least? Okay, but now I gave it, you can't be angry at me anymore. Abba Sura thought that Yehuda was angry at him. So he says, okay, you're not, but now I gave away everything, talk. He says, are you kidding? Chai demai, I swear, le shavik, no, he says, I swear, l'shvi kamida nafshoy. Abba Suda says, I didn't even leave over a penny for me. So Amalei, so Yehuda said to him, Iminoi didi, afila haimadaka saftale nichle. If you ask my advice, you shouldn't have given anything. Or not definitely what you give. Instead, so now it backfired. Because Yehuda is telling Abba Suda, I was quiet, not because I'm angry that you should give more.
When you give
in
less?
My opinion, you should have given less. Amalei, so then Abba said to Yehuda, Hashta nami adabe, can I retract it? Can I change my mind? Which, by the way, then he was allowed to change his mind. I'll tell you in a second. Amalei said, Shave nafshecha adorno lekamina. I don't want to turn you into a retractor. Because Chum say, you know, you say, make a promise, you don't take back. Legally, the Mepharshim say, legally, he could have done it. Here, Abba Suda is legally permitted to retract the dowry since the Kedusha didn't take place yet. But it was wrong for him to do it. So, in other words, that Papa through this trick, getting Yehuda into the house, made Abba Suda thought that Yehuda's angry at him. He gave away everything he owned.
Oh, boy.
And then he said, okay, so were you still angry at me? He says, I'm not angry at you. If you wanted my opinion, you shouldn't have given everything you gave. He said, can I change my mind? He said, that I'm not going to make you do. I'm not going to tell you to change your mind.
So this guy's just sitting there, right? This
yep.
Guy's just sitting there. And this guy, Abba, this guy's sitting there, not saying a word.
And Abba thinks he's angry at him. That's why he's not talking.
Yeah.
So he gave away everything.
Can he take it back?
Well, he said, can I take it back? So Abba said, said no. You're not supposed to take back. You're not supposed to take.
So this girl got
it's not proper to go back against you. That's what Tesis says.
So this kid got all the property.
Yep.
Wow, that's not right.
In the dowry.
That's not right.
Papa was very wealthy, by the way. He's a very good businessman.
Yeah, but this...
Fundraisers have to learn how to go to somebody and get all the money from them.
That's true.
Yeah, and not leave a cent for the guy himself. Just take everything he owns.
Or more.
I should get Rapop and the Yehuda Ben Meimer to raise money for us.
Yeah.
You should.
You do a good job.
At least you play the lottery.
Yep.
All right.